You're listening to Around Comics, episode 180. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where every week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need.
No! InStockTrades.
What?
We didn't get new sponsors.
There's going to be a lot of editing going on. I can already tell.
Didn't somebody else start a business?
You are our new sponsor development chair, Tom.
All right, good luck.
Come on, get on that.
I'll give you $5 that we don't have to read sponsor.
Chris, ask your theater to sponsor us an episode.
Oh, yeah, we got all sorts of money.
Yeah.
Community theaters where all the money is at.
Well, the sponsor that does have money right now, anyway, and hopefully forever, is InStockTrades.com. And they're your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices.
It is a phenomenal place to order your copy of Nixon's Pals.
Here we go.
Ding!
Search for first one!
Search for Nixon's Pals, no apostrophe. It comes up on the search easier.
There's actually a little Nixon's Pals counter on my computer screen that will light up every time you say it.
You search for Chris Ding. Burnham.
Right now, InStockTrades.com is offering the Invincible Iron Man Omnibus Edition at amazing 37% off the cover price.
I prefer Nixon's Iron Man, actually. Yeah. That's a fantastic book.
Pick up the earliest adventures of everyone's favorite ironclad Avenger for only $62.99. You can pick any of the three variant covers, and remember that all orders over $50 ship for free. And now you're quiet. I've been practicing this in the car all week long.
Have you been practicing it, basically expecting us to talk over you?
Are you practicing with your wife in the car?
No. Oh, God, absolutely.
Trust
not.
Me, he doesn't need to tell his wife to talk over him.
She would punch me in the throat if I did that in the car.
I'm just disappointed that in the time that we took off and we came back, there isn't a new edition, like the super absolute edition. Oh, of something, you know, like it's the same.
Well,
it's the same formats we had 4 months ago.
But they're putting out all of the same stuff.
I want the collections themselves. I want something that weighs, you know, 250 pounds. Like,
well, you can do
all
that.
The Iron Man and the Caps. Like, the library binding.
Well, hey,
that's just a couch size. Volume.
Well, if you couldn't tell, we are back. It's great to be at the shop again. And by the way, Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. And I did that while Marcus walked away here, so he wouldn't plug himself there. But anyway, I am Christopher Naisman, and let me introduce you to this week's panel. First of all, is the man that you know for bringing the funny and the edutainment. He is also the host of Tom versus the JLA. He is, of course, Mr. Tom Caters.
I'm barely able to take time out of my schedule of doing a 15-minute podcast a day.
You know, I thought that was a big tension release for you during tax season.
I heard it was like 8 minutes.
It's between 12. You don't even listen.
I don't.
I don't want to.
I see you every week. I see you every week.
I want to talk to the fans about it. All right.
Oh, that's not right.
I listened to it like one time.
Yeah, it was probably shitty.
For how many minutes?
I don't know. It was like the one old issue of the JLA I have, and I, you know, whipped it out and did the play-by-play, and I disagree with your opinion wholeheartedly.
I'm sorry.
Page by page.
Everything. The way you read it.
It was JLA versus Chris Burnham.
Yeah.
The way JLA would have won.
I encourage people to do their own versions and send them to me, and then I mock them.
Well, next is one of the masterminds behind the just-released Image original graphic novel, Nixon's Pals. He is one of Around Comics' pals, Mr. Chris Burnham.
That's me.
It's like a pal's maybe pal's maybe a strong word.
We're chummy.
I'm an acquaintance at best.
If a sudden case of horsing around breaks out.
Hey, we've eaten hot dogs together on a street corner in New York.
Oh, so. We did do that.
Yeah.
Was it the same hot dog?
No, whoa. It was two very different hot dogs.
It was Lady in the Tramp style.
Just asking.
We shared a plate of spaghetti in an alleyway.
No, you can do that in New York. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you can't because they don't have alleys. They don't have alleys. And last but certainly not least is our landlord
tallest.
Of the brick-and-mortar home of Around Comics, the owner of Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, Mr. Mark Beatty.
Small businessman.
Yes.
I got nothing else.
Independent comic shop owner.
I am an independent comic shop owner. That's
looking to sell out, though. Always looking to sell
out. If you want to buy all of this, can be yours
for the
right price.
This fantastic goodness.
Well, before we get started here, this is kind of our return episode, and I definitely want to thank a few people. First of all, the listeners, thank you for your patience while we are on hiatus. Really appreciate it. There's a lot of support and understanding why we recharged, and Tom was busy in tax season, and all of that good stuff.
Lay it all on me.
I haven't talked to you in like 3 months.
I would have shown up, and the listener would have never known that I was fucking freaking out every day. Because I'm a professional.
True, he did show up for his comics every
week.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I saw him walking.
He stayed for at least 5-6
every
minutes
Wednesday.
Every time.
That's because I don't like talking to you.
I know.
Next, I want to certainly thank Jeremy Mullins and the graduate students down at the Savannah College of Art and Design. They did some fine fill-in work for us while we were on a break, and they are going to be starting their very own podcast. And as soon as they give us details, we will let you know.
So great.
I know, more competition.
Competition.
I've been trying to debunk them.
I think it's amazing that Jeremy Mullins can do so many voices. It's like audio Muppet show going on.
So many voices talking over each other, just like us.
It's amazing how he does it. I don't know. Rich Little, watch out.
And if you haven't noticed, there are some new voices on the podcast and a couple that are missing, Sal and Scotty. And Sal is
ran off to get married.
Yes, I know. It's so sweet. Sal has assured me that he is not gone forever. He's got some other stuff going on outside of comics, and he's still pretty busy, but he's going to be back. Don't worry. Podcasting is a sickness, and he won't be able to stay away for long. I keep teasing him about it. And Scotty has just moved outside of the Chicagoland area, and so he's going to have a bunch of other stuff going on, like the Marvel Illustrated Wizard of Oz, which I know we're all looking forward to. And I know that Scotty will definitely make it back for shows in the future as well as he visits. So, I have a feeling that they may drop by tonight, so you may hear from them sooner than later.
This will be done by 10:30. Wink, wink.
Oh, that's the plan, man.
All right.
In and out. In
let's
and
go.
Out. All right. Well,
already I'm rushing us through the show.
No, it's like 7 minutes. Okay, it's time to bring back an old favorite. We've had a lot of time off to go through those to read piles and get caught up on stuff. Hopefully, there's plenty to talk about because it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top
of the Stack.
Of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last couple weeks. And Mr. Caters, I know that you've had a big old pile of Justice League that you've been reading, but I think you're saving that up for Tom versus the JLA.
I won't be talking about comic books on this show. My Top of the Stack is when we weren't doing the show. I actually got a chance to read Fun Home. By Alison Bechdel.
Bastard.
Was that what you were going to pick?
Yes!
We didn't talk about this. This is how
what
fast...
What are the odds?
This is how fast the fucking show is going to go now.
All right, I got another one. I'm good.
No, we don't...
I'm good.
If we both think it's the best thing we read, we don't need to pick another one.
I'd actually was going to save it until the next time we recorded. So,
oh, okay.
Okay.
Well,
so,
whatever. All right.
Do
next.
It.
Next. Oh, we're going to talk about it now?
Yes.
What's it about? Why is it so good? Why is
it
better than, you know, anything else? Why is it better than the new Jack Staff?
Why is it better than Nixon's pal?
Right. That's the real question, asshole.
I wouldn't say it's better. It's just different. If you haven't heard about it, which I would be surprising, because I think Time Magazine picked it as like the book of the year.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's where I go for all my comic book
selections.
That's
where I go
that's
for
all. It's
for
the
all
only
my...
reason I read Time Magazine.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Wizard probably picked Teen Titans 53 is the best book ever. I decided to go with a reputable news source. And it was actually really good as well. It's follows a story about a girl sort of telling, well, she's a woman now, telling her life story, where she is a lesbian and her odd relationship with her father, who was a closeted homosexual, and sort of how his life is very much sort of a tragedy. And there's some nice moments of comparing the choices that she made in her life that made her sort of happy, or sort of the choices that her father never got the chance to make that made her father eventually, I guess, possibly take his own life. That's mm-hmm. part of the tragedies. They don't really know why.
Yeah, I think she actually calls it, what is it on the cover? It's a family tragicomic.
And, so Fun Home is not like a literal title.
Yes, it is.
It is a little, because they ran a funeral home.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And they called it The Fun Home.
But there are funny parts.
Oh, that
not
sounds
all,
fucking hilarious.
It's not all incredibly sad, because it also deals a lot. She has some really funny sections about that she was obsessive compulsive, and she sort of has fun describing like how that sort of sets in, and sort of the crazy things that she did when she, you know, when she was younger. And I liked the art quite a bit. I also thought it was really cool because art really captures the time period that it's from, you know, like in the late 70s, early 80s. You can see it in the way people dress, and you see it in the way.
Well, I mean, it's very much an autobiographical book, yeah. In that it's not all happy, it's not all sad, it's not all exciting. Yeah. It's about her life, and there's all that. There were, you know, really happy moments in her life, and really sad and confusing. And as she's getting older, she's starting to come to grips with her emerging sexuality,
yeah.
And then there's this relationship with her father, and her parents are both intellectuals, and so I thought the dynamic of the family was really interesting. I hope that a lot of families have pieces of those relationships that can kind of, you know, ground you to it, so you can kind of understand it in
so
your
you
own.
So you hope that my dad is gay?
No, I hope that your dad has had to make hard decisions in his life, and that he can pass some of those experiences to you.
Actually, I think he was just saying he hopes your dad's dead.
Yes, yeah. So he threw himself in front of a truck.
Yeah, did your father throw himself in front of a truck?
Not yet.
He hasn't. There's still time.
He hasn't seen the sales numbers on Nixon's Pals yet.
I don't see. I don't like how this is going at all.
No, I absolutely
did. You enjoy it?
Yes, I really did. I finished it up on a bus between New York and Boston. Actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
You took a bus to New York?
Yeah, or no,
to Boston. From New
York. $15, okay, baby. Yeah. Lucky Star bus
travel.
Well,
it's always nice when you read something that's sort of hyped up as being supposed to be really good, mm-hmm. and then you read it and it is actually.
You know
really
where
good?
I first heard about the book?
Where?
On this show. When,
from who?
From, well, it was the big news story that this and Blankets were the two books that were pulled out of the Missouri not school library. It was a library in a little town.
For being awesome.
Well, I mean, there are some. I don't want to call graphic panels in there, but I mean, there's some very sexually explicit.
There's cunnilingus.
Yes.
Is there a diagram?
Explaining how to. Right. No, Chris.
Is he still trying to figure that out? You just keep jamming his face into it.
I've got that under control, but our 16-year-old listeners may not yet. You
oh,
know?
God. I'm so glad Hank's not here.
I think we're going to get pulled from that library.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever made it into the library. But, yeah, absolutely. Great great pick.
Hank, and don't read this. This isn't for you.
The other kind of funny thing is Marta and I were sitting in an airport in Manchester, New Hampshire, flying back from our little trip out there after the New York Comic Con.
Yes.
And there was this gal with these, you know, cat eye glasses and, you know, just a real indie-looking gal.
Time machine.
And I was reading Jeremy Hahn's Narcoleptic Sunday, and she looks at me. She's like, "Are you going to Portland?" I was like, "No, I'm going to Seattle in a couple
weeks."
Then
she pulled the gun and said, "Now you are.
Now you are. Get on the fucking plane." No, she's an indie comics creator named Robin Chapman, who is faculty at the the school in Vermont, the Center for Cartoon Studies, and Allison Bechtel is faculty there as well. So we got to talk about Fun Home in the airport, and my wife was losing her mind. She's like, she can't get away from it. So that's my funny little Fun Home story.
That's funny.
That wasn't that funny.
That is a tragic comic story.
That
anecdote.
Is, yeah.
It had happiness, sadness,
disappointment. My wife got up to go to Starbucks.
I could see that.
Mr. Beatty?
I'll run with the last book I read, which actually I really did enjoy, which just happens to be...
Showcase number 4.
Chris Burnham's Nixon's Pals.
Yeah. Oh, ding!
You just stole his top of the stack.
He can't pick his own goddamn book. He can't pick his own goddamn book.
That's never stopped anyone in the history of comics podcasting from talking about their own shit.
Well, you can talk about it. You just can't pick it for your top of the stack. I really did enjoy it.
Such a passion.
So I read Chris's book last night.
Who drew it?
Chris Burnham, customer and friend of Dark Tower Comics and Around Comics. How's that? I really did enjoy it. It was actually very fun. You do a great job of telling a story, which so many artists are lacking in nowadays.
I'm looking right at Chris.
I'm kind of getting creeped out a little bit.
You should be.
I never noticed your eyes were blue before.
I see. Oh God. I've got to
the
go.
Deepest blue.
The one scene where the boob with the cigar.
I have to admit, I love that character. That was when they're in the closet and the one bites his finger.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. God, what an idea.
I'm kind of bipolar.
What's
sometimes.
This book about?
I don't know, Mark. What is it about?
It's basically a PO.
What's a PO?
Fuck off, man. I'm so not.
I'm just saying, for someone like Hank, who's 16,
who's never left his house,
never been arrested, only comes in
on Saturdays for an hour.
I get a text message. Hank is in New York at the.
Yeah, he went to the con. He went with his brother.
He's the kids everywhere.
He just with his brother at the con.
Okay.
I guess his brother lives there.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Basically, a PO who has his cons that are out on bail. What do I say? What do I criminals?
Convicts.
The convicts that are out on bail.
I totally misunderstood the book.
PO parole officer for Tom, apparently. I think Tom really wanted to know because he just couldn't figure it out.
I couldn't figure it out.
So the parolees are basically all super criminals. Not really good ones, particularly, but pretty funny ones. People from, I mean, literally, a girl with faces on her boobs and nipples for eyes. One guy who looks like a giant trash can version of Iron Man. Another guy was the very first one that starts it off, basically just a big, was he Brick? What was his name?
The Bricklayer.
The Bricklayer, yes. And it's just classic villains, Chris. But just the whole way through. One of the things I just couldn't figure out, though, was how on earth does he keep walking after all that damage?
He's tough, man.
He's beyond tough. He got beat up by a brick wall.
He's American.
He got knocked around by a tin can Iron Man.
This guy's worst.
The living shit kicked out of him by the WWF's sisters. I mean, he just keeps getting up and moving on. So, but it was a really good book. I don't want to go through the whole thing, but it was a really enjoyable read. Good art. Just great characters, though.
Now, did you do all the character designs, obviously?
Yeah. Was,
okay. How much... it's written by Joe Casey.
Yes, written by Joe Casey. Yeah, whatever.
How much of the character designs did Joe Casey get involved with?
I'd say it was almost a perfect 50-50 split.
Who did nipple eyes?
That was all me, except for the name. I couldn't come up with a name.
That's all right. The character itself is just fantastic.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when I hung up the phone with Joe, was a prostitute with Tyrannosaurus teeth on her boobs, and then... The second thing I drew was the character as she stands.
Interesting.
It's a good character.
Yeah,
that's actually the shirt you gave me like a year ago.
Yeah.
Just the two boobs with faces on them.
Right.
In a rectangle box right on the chest. My wife wears that shirt now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about the process of how you do, or do you want to save that for later in the show?
We'll save that for later. I want to spread out my promo action.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I got to finish up. We got to finish top of the stack, man.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Stay
yes.
on task, buddy. Come on.
How much is Nixon's Pals, by the way?
Nixon's Pals is a graphic novel. It's from Image Comics, and it's $12.99. And you can get it at Dark Tower Comics also.
4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
That's right.
All right, Mr. Burnham.
My top of the stack, I bought it this week, but it certainly didn't come out this week. It is Dan Slott's first volume of She-Hulk number 4, the one where Spider-Man sues the Daily Bugle for libel, I guess. One of the best comics I've read all year that wasn't drawn by me. It was
it was just utterly spectacular across the board. I mean, it's
qualifier,
right? I mean, just fun ideas, totally great stylized artwork. It was totally done in one while planting all sorts of seeds that are going to pay off later. This book's kind of tough to find, so I've been buying the series like issue by issue instead of buying
the
whole collection.
Again?
It was She-Hulk number 4.
Volume 4?
Volume 1, number 4. The Dan Slott, volume 1, number 4. It's got Spider-Man on the cover.
Oh, the issue
the
number.
The actual single issue.
Yes. What did I say? Whatever I said.
He was messing you up. It's
yes.
Tom's fault.
Fucker.
So the fourth issue
the fourth
of the Dan
issue
Slott
of
written
his
She-Hulk.
First
Go
volume.
Get it!
Yes.
Okay.
It's fucking
You can
rad.
Pick it up in trade format. There's
yes.
trades of it.
That would be much easier on you.
I'm assuming that would probably be the first She-Hulk trade that
yes.
Slott.
Okay. Yes.
Which
it's,
is
it's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah, totally one solid issue, but I mean if you read the whole run, it is just fucking brilliant. It is perfect comic book storytelling. Dan Slott needs to run everything.
Whoa.
Are you guys reading She-Hulk now that Peter David's
nah, I stopped reading it.
I
not
actually
interested.
I read a few issues that I'm mildly confused on his sidekick.
The Skrull?
But I have yeah, the yeah. Skrull girl.
I
Skrulls? Jesus.
I know, it's like another Skrull. It's like how did the Skrull girl? I'm assuming it has a tie-in somewhere along
it
the lines,
will.
But
I'm sure it will. My top of the stack is from the recently released JSA Classified number 35. This is the Wildcat story that's going on right now. I think the third issue should be out in a couple weeks.
Next week.
Yeah. This is written by B. Clay Moore and art done by Ramon Perez. You may know Ramon from his work on Butternut Squash. It's a very popular webcomic. It's a different style than what you see in JSA Classified, but I like the art so much, I bought a page.
You did? You
yes.
bought the first page?
I bought the very first page, yes. I bought page one of issue 35 and flaunted it in front of B. Clay Moore.
Flexed it?
Yes. I was like, ooh, check it out.
What did he do? Did he react? Did he...
Clay?
He cursed at me.
He cursed at me.
He ignored you.
Yeah, but he'd do that if you showed him artwork or not. That was his
exactly.
Name.
Exactly. But,
he called security.
This is written by B. Clay Moore, who you may know from Hawaiian Dick. He's on Battle Hymn. He's currently also doing Superman Confidential with Phil Hester and Andy Parks. Clay's really one of the... really accomplished independent writers, especially on the image circuit.
He's doing 76 right now too.
76, he's doing that with Seth Peck. Clay writes a ton of great independent creator-owned stuff, but I'm really glad to see him able to step into the DC universe. He's got some other Marvel stuff going on, but JSA Classified Wildcat is a really fun story about Wildcat. Kind of not coming to grips, but keeps getting reminded by everyone else that he's a little long in the tooth, that maybe his best superheroing days may have passed him by, and that there is just because he's part of the JSA and he's a great trainer that teaches all these young heroes combat skills and fighting, doesn't mean that he has to put on the tights and go out and mix it up with the super-powered baddies. He's got Alan Scott, who's kind of reminding him of this and trying to, you know, more or less talk some sense into him, and you know, they're almost trying to talk him into retirement is the feeling that you get. Well, there is a more or less a mystery that comes up that takes Wildcat into kind of his past and into the world of boxing, and there's some great flashbacks throughout the series as he's kind of remembering times gone by and kind of his golden age as a hero, and he gets kind of wrapped up into this fighting and created super villain ring, and Selina Kyle also gets tied into it as they're in Gotham.
In a way, it's not just a journey into his past, but into his future.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, it's kind of almost from the
right,
word
the
go, you get the feeling that this is going to be one of those stories where he goes through a personal journey and comes out stronger on the other end and kind of reaffirms his place in the superheroing community, that he'll be recharged and really find himself as a hero again. That's pretty apparent from the get-go. But the journey, the ride, is what's fun. Is Wildcat is such an underused character for a lot of people, myself included. I love Wildcat and I love Wildcat stories. It you can count them on one hand, if that, how many good Wildcat stories have been out there.
So why do you love him so much if he's always poorly written?
He's just a great character. I like him, too.
He's underwritten. He's not written of enough. And he's just kind of... He's kind of got the same charm that Batman does for a lot of people, in that he's just a guy. He's a great hand-to-hand fighter. And
well, he has some abilities. They've shown in JSA he did actually. Who's that? Crimson.
Well, he had 9 lives, but they got rid of that shit.
Yeah, but they actually used it in JSA, so it was only a couple of years ago they used it.
Well, they kept shooting him until he lost all 9 of them.
That is true.
He's on the 9th one?
Yeah, I don't think
it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd actually, now that moment of silence for Catwoman, as we've learned that series is coming to an end, I would love to see a Wildcat Catwoman series. And this is kind of almost like a mini series of that. I would love to see an ongoing with those two characters as the primaries.
Yeah.
So Clay, Will, get together, guys.
Did anybody hear a moment of silence there at any point?
Yeah.
When Chris asked for
one. It was continuous. People are listening at home. You pause it and have a moment of silence. We're not going to waste airtime on silence. Always be talking.
I can cut it. I can edit it there.
So that it always works that way. There's never a
stick
moment
some violins
of silence
in there too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my top of the stack. JSA Classified number 35.
I have to say, I've enjoyed those issues too.
Yeah, that's a
I've liked that series in general. JSA Classified.
So they did,
I think it's been a quality book.
Because they did the smart thing with it, where the reason JLA Classified always kind of falls apart is because there's no like order to how it works, but JSA Classified seems to work as if whoever has a cool story about one of the JSA members can do their two-part story about Dr. Midnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So every couple issues you'll have a different character that's focused on. While the JLA
was like 6 parts from an artist and writer who haven't done comics in 20 years.
Yeah, 6-part story about
and even when they did,
League
they
Detroit.
Sucked.
They're not very short. You know, the JSA ones are usually 2 to 3 issues or one-shots.
That's why the JLA one was canceled, though. It did go out in a bang. Mm-hmm. I actually liked the John Byrne, Roger Stern story arc at the end.
Well, I like that in team books. I always kind of like the one-off adventures that they'd, you know, like back in the X-Men days where Nightcrawler would get his little one-issue or two-issue.
Swashbuckling adventure.
And I like that, but I also understand that it's like whenever I buy JSA, I'm buying it because I want to read about the JSA. I don't want to read a Wildcat
story. Dr. Midnight story.
Yeah, he can be a central character, but I want the rest of the JSA there. And having JSA Classified, I think, is a great way to mix those guys
in. It's also
in.
Canceled.
And I know. This has been a terrible year for me with comics that I really love that are getting canned.
Well, you know, you should just try picking a winner. It's really the key.
Just Uncanny X-Men, yep. Amazing Spider-Man, Detective. Don't bother with anything.
My life
they're
would be
gonna,
so much easier.
They're all
don't run with anything
canceled.
That isn't up to number 500.
Okay.
Or close to it.
But they keep restarting them, Mark.
Right, well, you got X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Amazing Spider-Man. Just stick with those three, and you'll never have to worry
about
the book ending.
They'll never get canceled, and they'll never get any better.
And you'll always read the same stories over and over again.
That is pretty much exactly right.
Yeah, I'm bummed. Greg Rucka's last issue of Checkmate, I think, came out today or this
Wednesday.
Yeah, it was really good.
Exterminators is on its next to last issue.
Yeah, then it's got 30, I think.
It's got
29.
Two left.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's JSA Classified.
Why the Last Man got canceled?
I don't think it got canceled.
Really? I think Exterminators ending pretty much proves that Round Comics can't support a comic book.
Hey, we got them all the way to
30. Oh, hey. You got at least a dozen.
I think you guys probably got that book going a lot longer than it would have. So.
Well, I don't think
no.
that we. I don't think
no,
that
we're out.
We
get enough.
No,
it's the Prell theory.
No,
you tell two friends,
you know
they tell
often
two friends.
People listen to the show and then say, I turn off the parts where you talk about books that I don't read.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Holy crap.
You know, I do that when I listen to other shows.
What the fuck is wrong with you, people?
Hey, I sold 2 copies of whatever my book is called at the con because people listen to these shows.
Really?
Whatever your book is called?
Nixon's Pals.
Ding. Ding.
We've got to get a bell.
Yeah, you know, and that's a whole other conversation, but I like to think that there are a few other people that got turned on to Exterminators because of podcast in general. But, yeah, I'm bummed about it wrapping up, but
hey, 30 issues.
Gonna be fine. Yeah.
It's not a bad
30 issues is a pretty good run.
Yeah. It's been a tough year for
it's better
Vertigo.
Than Swamp Thing.
It's I think Vertigo is kind of clearing the decks of stuff and changing direction. That was the kind of the word in New York as they're talking about new projects coming out from Vertigo. They're really, it looks like, starting to go the graphic novel route.
Why not? And,
well, they're cutting to the chase. It's always been a very, very trade heavy part of their business anyway. So
why not go right to it?
Yep, exactly.
It's harder to order graphic novels right off the bat, though. I'll say that as a comic store. Sorry, right. With a regular book, you'll order, you know, 10 or 15 mm-hmm. copies of it, but with a graphic novel, three.
They're not really worried about you.
Apparently not.
They don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think sending a book directly to graphic novel form is going to help them in stores. I don't think that's going to help.
Because
they're going to go looking for the trades they already know or they've heard are good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's a...
I'll tell you what, as I was going up and down the East Coast, my wife is a book nut. She loves to read, and so we always go into these...
The Bible.
We see mostly. A book... Yeah, mostly the Bible.
hence the nut part.
Book nut.
So we always go into bookstores whenever we're out traveling around. So we probably went into 10 bookstores in New England. And I'd always go right to the graphic novel.
You're looking for the graphic novel.
And, you know, they're not carrying Amazing Spider-Man. They're carrying Jeff Brown books and Fun
Ooh,
Home.
Jeff Brown.
Jeffrey Brown.
Okay, Jeff, I was going to say.
Yes.
Woo.
I saw Fun Home at almost every bookstore that we went to.
Yeah, but you said it was written up in the New York Times.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So that's kind of a, hey, Borders... By me.
Yeah, but I didn't see a lot of Vertigo and that kind of stuff. Not, and these are all independent bookstores. These aren't like Borders and Barnes & Noble and that kind of stuff. So just an interesting observation as I got out and about in
Learning.
The country.
Learning.
And I say if they don't care about me, well, just around, so be it.
That's the new thing, too, is that we're only going to talk about stuff that we research by traveling across the country.
Yes.
In 2 weeks. Next time you hear
pretty much, this means it's going to be like a
five-minute
show per week.
Next time we do a show where all we do is bitch about Diamond, what we're going to do first is we're going to travel the country and really experience all the problems of Diamond from everywhere. The American Southwest to the Rocky Mountains.
Well, actually, you know, that is, speaking of traveling, that is probably a good time to let people know what we're going to be doing in a couple weeks.
Well, that was a hell of a segue.
Yeah. We're traveling.
Where are you traveling
Come
to?
Lodge your complaints with us.
We are in 2 weeks.
What are you using to travel, actually? What mode of transportation?
You're on a comics helicopter.
Yes.
AC-1.
We upgraded to the jet.
Jet. Nice.
Yes.
The AC, a two-seat jet.
Yes, a little Cessna. No, or that's not a jet, is it?
That's a death trap.
This is a little problem. No, we're going to be at the Seattle Emerald City Comic Con, and we're actually going to be the official podcast.
That means
we
get a table.
Yes.
I'm going to be there, actually.
Really?
Just for Saturday. My brother and his little nephew Noah.
Really?
I suppose his son, my nephew, mm-hmm. Noah, lives out there, so I'm heading out there, and I'm going to write the whole thing off by showing up to the con on Saturday.
When are you heading out?
Friday.
Are you going to be there Friday?
Yeah.
We're going to... Are you a White Sox fan?
No, I could not possibly care less about baseball.
But we're getting together. We're going to a baseball game.
Well, I am going to be hanging out with my brother, sister-in-law, girlfriend, and parents.
Bring them to the game.
Fuck that.
So,
you sure you don't want to just blow them all off?
I'm blowing them all off for comics on Saturday, so I got to...
Yeah,
I got to put in family time on Friday or I'm fired.
That's right. And you get to write it out. That's cool. But we're going to be out there. We're going to be the official podcast of, which basically means, we're going to have a table. We're going to be talking to a bunch of people. And in case you didn't know.
We're going to be rude to you in person.
Just poor Josh. Josh.
We're going to be rude to you face-to-face.
Josh blew me off at the con. Shut the fuck up. All right. May 10th and 11th in Seattle, Washington. That's Saturday. It is a Saturday-Sunday show, which kind of threw us off. I'm used to going to Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows. So
yeah, God. I'm really looking forward to not having that. Not 3 days.
Not
really
yet.
Only two is really all that's...
It really is. In New York, even, two was enough. But... Go to their website, which is, I believe, Emerald City Comic Con. Just do a search for it, Seattle Emerald City.
Search for official podcast, and you won't find anything.
Some of the guest list, and I'm sure that you've checked this out. Just highlight a few of the names here.
See, there we go. Suntress made the dog
went off. The alarm went off.
Suntress, are you?
I'm not stealing. Did you bathe in gravy again?
Coco.
He petted her and everything else. Come here now. Behind the camera.
The show's ruined.
Show's ruined. That's it. We're done.
Oh, I'm so keeping that in.
Another 4 months. I'll see you guys in 4 fucking months.
I've had it.
I said I wouldn't work with animals again on the show after the elephant episode.
Around Comics is proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. Anyway, before the dog attack, there, I wanted to highlight a few of the creators on the guest list in Seattle. If you have a chance to make this show, I keep hearing great things about it from the two cons I've gone to earlier this year. Everyone seems to really be looking forward to the Seattle show. Peter Baggy, Ivan Brandon, Jeffrey Brown, Ed Brubaker,
Bang.
Kurt Busick, Moritat,
yes,
who did a pinup in Nixon's Palace.
That's
we'll
true.
See it all comes around. Chris Moreno,
more.
Our buddy Pat Loika,
yes.
Steve Lieber,
yes.
Eric Canetti,
yes.
Oh shit.
Jim Chung,
no.
Bam.
Jerry Duggan,
yeah.
Phil Noto,
yeah.
Eisner nominated, by the way, for Infinite Horizon.
Yes.
Congratulations, guys.
Yes,
Karen
again.
Dwyer.
Again.
Jesus.
More.
Brian
More
Lee
names.
O'Malley. Ryan Otley. Jeff
More
Parker,
names.
Eric Pell. Brian
yes,
Reed.
Yes,
Rick Remender.
Yes.
Steve
yes.
Wilson. And a bunch more.
Yes.
Greg Griffith.
I got to throw a bone to my buddy Nathan Fairbairn, the greatest colorist in the industry,
yes.
other than Dave Stewart.
Yes.
Dave Stewart's going to be there.
That
yes.
dude can color some shit.
You hate it when we list things, don't you?
No, it's great. I love it when we read a list that somebody could go look up. Very like we.
It's
we don't have the exclusive list. It's not like this is the first
Mike
time.
Mike Grill.
That was the most random list of highlighted names too.
I don't think it was the actual list of anybody being
miss?
There. I think he just named a bunch of artists.
He skipped over Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko.
The ghosts.
Steve Ditko's alive.
Ditko's.
Oh, Jesus. So, hey.
So, Tom.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody.
From the break. From the musical break.
Actually, I will. What do you want to hear?
Marvel Marching Society.
Wasn't that good?
I'll get it from Vince. He's got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But none of that weird remixing shit he did where he put in shit about, like, aliens and, you know, like, it's crazy.
Did he do a Skrull mix?
What's going on? Am I not talking into the mic?
Okay. No, there you go. Okay, good.
The face you made was like...
The ball game is louder than you ran.
Tom, the whole show is going to... This is the nervousness part where Chris is running the board.
I'm
going to
get better at it.
He's nervous.
I'm going to get better at
he's
it.
He's nervous. I'm nervous, but the whole time I'm thinking...
I'm
like,
oblivious.
None of this is
so
I'm completely
what's
relaxed.
The thing? It's the thing. Now that I'm running the board and doing the hosting gig because Sal's not here,
yeah.
Now whenever I talk and you guys are looking at me, I'm just like, Am I nervous talking?
No more than usual.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's
no more than
pretty
the
much
usual
a given.
Pain.
So Tom.
Yes.
Tell us about what you've been reading.
I've been reading a lot of showcases.
Those are the ones that are like coloring books, right?
Yes.
Yes. They're the ones that they took all the beautiful 60s coloring out.
Four colors.
I just finished the Sergeant Rock showcase.
Oh, sweet.
Which was pretty good. I still think that Jonah Hex and the Unknown Soldier ones are the two best ones. The Sergeant Rock one was the art was really good. The only sort of problem you have with them though, and it's a problem of reading a bunch of them in a row, is that there is a formula to every Sergeant Rock story that is repeated, of course, every time because you know it was never meant to be read 500 pages of Sergeant Rock. Yeah, so I had to space it out a little bit, but you know it was always the same sort of. He's starting off by telling a story, and then usually the story is about how one of the soldiers has. Oh, there's my phone. One of the soldiers has like a nickname like Ice Cream Soldier, or they think he's soft, and then he has to prove that he isn't soft by, like, rolling under a tank and, like, filling it up with fire or grenades. And it's always, you know, always that same sort of similar thing, or, like, floating across a river on a log and then throwing a grenade, or jumping over a fence and throwing a grenade. The art's really cool, and it's
a lot
storytelling
of, a lot of Kubert stuff.
It's almost all in Kubert stuff in the first volume. I think it's all Kubert stuff, and it's all Kaniger stuff. So you get some of that, you know, Kaniger really likes hitting that formula over and over and over and over.
Well,
again.
Mark, when these originally came out, what was it like?
Yeah, what was World
War
II?
Wow,
yeah,
that was
back in 48.
Yeah. Why don't we ask John that question? He's older than me.
What was it
the
like?
Only guy
what was it like having?
Ted's older than me, too, so thank God I'm in the middle for once.
What was it like having something as evil as the Nazis around when you were in your 20s?
I don't know. I don't know cause, because I was one. So they're not really evil. They're just your friends. You know what I'm saying?
Just like V.
Yeah.
Just like that fine miniseries V.
Now, exactly. Obviously, when you were a small lad in World War One. Totally different story. Oh, I bought Enemy Ace Showcase as well,
that
so I'm getting ready to get.
So, have you picked up the Challengers of the Unknown?
No, not yet.
Fun stuff.
I look forward.
Oh, yeah.
To getting around. I've got my World's Finest lined up next, so there'll be tons of stories of Batman and Superman switching identities, like every fucking time. Anytime there's any problem.
Boy, that was handy.
Yeah, thank God we look suspiciously alike. We can then switch costumes all the time.
What I love, didn't they do that in the Batman animated and Superman animated? I don't know if they actually had a crossover, but they did have a World's Finest.
I mean, that is such that's like the cliche of Batman, old Superman Batman stories is like the way to get around it is, oh shit, now we have to prove that Clark Kent isn't Superman. Well, Bruce Wayne will simply put on glasses. And act like Clark Kent, and then stupid Lois Lane always wrong. Yeah,
or Vicky Vale.
And then by the next week she's suspicious again. This vicious circle that they're in constantly of having to prove who they are.
I think it's just the early set of Alzheimer's for her. She just kept forgetting.
Who are you?
That she'd already screwed these.
Wait, are you Superman? Wait.
I tell you, I bought a HD DVD player. Bad purchase, but now I am.
Good idea. Did you buy that last week or something?
But I'm now able to get like really cheap HD DVDs, and I picked up the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
Oh, is that the one where Batman and Superman switch
No, but it is the one where Lois is constantly trying to prove that Clark is Superman. Good Lord, does that movie not hold up? It was
the second one doesn't really,
and I think that's the exact reason why I would base a third movie on that series right away.
No,
oh, hold on, that's already been done by Singer.
What they needed to do is make a fourth movie where Superman collects all the nuclear weapons. Did they do that?
I think they should have.
Did they make one?
I think they should
that?
Also have John a sun-powered Pryor. Villain to stop him, though. That's created by Lex Luthor.
And Richard Pryor needs to be in one of
oh,
them.
Oh, Richard Pryor's awesome in that.
And Robert Vaughn.
Yeah, come on, come on. Zod.
So yeah,
it's in the second one.
Didn't hold it. Yeah, Marta refused to watch it because she remembers it very fondly, and so I put it on.
I get uncomfortable in the part where Clark Kent gets the shit beat out of him by like the trucker. I don't like that part in the second.
I like the part where he comes back and he's a real dick and beats the hell out of him on accident, though. That's just to pay him back. So
it doesn't make sense in the recut.
What a dick! What a Superman's a dick. It just goes to show you.
I always enjoy a good story where Superman displays his true side of humanity. Yeah, just like slapping somebody or. I was reading a JLA issue where he said, I usually don't hit women, and then he did.
But in your case.
Yeah, then he did. But he didn't punch her. He, like, flicked her with the, I think it was Star Sapphire. I usually don't hit women, and then he flicked her and knocked her out, and I was like, well, you do, because you just did. Like, what
is flicking really considered hitting? I mean,
if
really.
You're Superman.
It's an even more
demeaning form.
Sapphire did.
It's kind of like slapping a guy.
He didn't punch her. He just.
Your Honor, my defendant clearly flicked Star Sapphire in the face.
And then Batman and Superman switched identities, and everything worked out fine. That's always the solution.
And Double Team Wonder Woman.
And,
fantastic.
And it
I love that issue.
It doesn't work in real life, though. If you have a friend, and...
glasses?
No, and yeah.
Hand him your glasses.
Hand him your glasses. No one will fall. No one will be like, oh, yeah,
actually,
I couldn't have done it. I was right
there.
Over
was
there.
There was that time that you and Chris did it, though, and I was completely fooled.
Suntress and Burnham?
Yeah. Hi, no, how's it going? I'm Chris Burnham. I just drew Nixon's pals. Still, it's me, but
ding.
My facial hair.
That is eerily accurate.
Well, you know.
Let me put on my fake mustache so I look like Suntress.
How do the showcases and essentials do for you here?
Like shit.
Really?
By the way, am I the only one that really dislikes that series? I like it too.
I like the series.
I like it for one purpose, that you get a lot of issues, but I hate it for the fact that it's black and white. Why can they not just print with color?
I really don't care, because the coloring looks like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the color, it still makes up a difference. So many coloring books at a time.
You read the Jonah Hex ones. The coloring completely obscures the
actual art.
Well,
that's because everything's in sepias, you know.
Well, in the 70s books, I'd agree with you, but I think in the 50s and 60s books, it's like Tom said, it literally was four color art. I mean, it really.
Yeah, real.
Green Lantern is really weird. I like the Superman one, but the Green Lantern seems highly stupid, because how do I know what's yellow?
Well, luckily,
how do
they
I know
made
it's
sure
evil?
To tell you it's yellow every in the match, even if it was yellow.
That's true.
And
my God, my ring
had
effect because it's yellow.
Sometimes they'll foreshadow by like one panel, and I'll be out of it.
You'll be like, oh, that statue's yellow. This is going to be a problem.
Those are great stories, of those Green Lantern future stories. When he goes 5,000 years in the future and he becomes Paul Manning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Paul Manning
but
now.
But I also like, in the showcase Green Lantern, the times where Green Lantern would be like, I don't need my ring to beat these guys, so Gil Kane could draw a page of him punching someone in the face. Like, you have this ring that can do whatever you want, and you're like, oh, well, fuck it. I'm just going to not use it, and I'm just going to jack these guys in the face. Doesn't
it? You've been reading Hal Jordan Green Lantern for a long time.
Negative 20 years old.
In the womb.
I wasn't really a DC fan. I know that Kyle has been Green Lantern for, what, 10 years, 15 years? 15 years,
years.
You know, but Hal Jordan was always Green Lantern to me, because I didn't know any better, because he was the Super Friends.
No, he's the real Green Lantern. Sorry.
Well,
the one true Green Lantern.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, he's the one that, you know, I grew up with the cartoons. How is the Green Lantern today that Johns is writing? I mean, how well does it compare to the Green Lantern of like 20 years ago?
It's better.
Way better.
I mean, people can look at it very, very nostalgically, and there are people that's like, you know, Hal is Green Lantern. He's always been Green Lantern.
You know what?
Be.
I've read a lot of old Green Lantern stories. There are very few really well done old Green Lantern. You know, much respect to John Broom and Gil Kane, but. Man, some of there's a reason why they had to switch his profession like 25 times, is because they kept running out of ideas of like, now I'm a toy salesman, now I'm a truck driver. You know, there's
insurance?
Yeah, there's a problem.
Insurance?
There's obviously a writing problem or an idea problem when you have to keep switching like your framing.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty freaking basic concept. He's a test fighter pilot that becomes a space cop.
Yeah.
Why do you have to make him a toy salesman?
But they were more enamored of the space cop part, and they kind of
neglect.
Left the test pilot in the dust, and that's why Johns was brilliant and said, this guy has one of the best secret identities where there could be adventures just about being a test pilot. I need to exploit that. I mean, it also obviously benefits from modern storytelling now, but you know.
With the toy salesman thing, it's always like a case of, I think there's an illusion sometimes when, and it doesn't just happen with Green Lantern, it happens with a lot of characters, where people are like, oh, well, this character is now boring. You know why he's boring? Because his job is boring. Which is not the reason why the character's not boring, because his job's boring. I mean, that's the least. It's boring because.
Well, it's a cover story.
Yeah, I mean.
That stuff just wasn't. Oh, boy.
Well, look, they couldn't even stay away from
one
whole
one. I know, Not 48 minutes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't stay away.
Couldn't stay away.
Couldn't stay away.
Wait, is Pie Face coming back though? That's my question.
What was that? Pie Face.
Is Pie Face?
Pie Face is back.
He's not called Pie Face. He's not called Pie Face anymore.
Yeah, you know.
When did they stop calling him Pie Face? Is my question.
1954. When it was inappropriate to call an Eskimo Pie Face.
I think it was the 70s, honestly.
Whenever he helps Green Lantern, it always involves a whale fat.
Is he always gnawing on it?
Always. Like, all the time. And sometimes it was yellow.
Do you have your harpoon with you?
Yeah.
In fact, I do.
It was, and then when they switched it from him being an Eskimo to him being...
Now we're going to get emails from
an Inuit. When he got kicked out of the
Inuit. The Eskimo contingent is going to email the shit out of us now.
Did you know that Inuit is technically incorrect? Although Inuit is PC, it is just as incorrect as Eskimo. Did you know that?
What do you call them?
I don't know. Brother.
I got it. Whale killers.
Friends. Ice people. Friends. I call them friends.
You got to do it in a Clayton Moore voice, though. I call them friends.
They're my friends.
Every time I use my teeth as a tool, you know, to, like, open a beer bottle or, like, hold something, I always think, you know, Eskimos would, you know, rub their teeth down to the nub by the time they're old because they use their teeth for, like, a third set of hands or whatever. Every time I think about that. True.
So we're saying Eskimos.
Why do you know so much about
So we're saying Eskimos because he dated an Eskimo girl, I think. Would be the
is your new project an Eskimo book?
It should be.
She was like 40, but my God, those
people
are
It's called
the
Igloo Captain.
Captain Igloo.
Captain Igloo.
I just punched that idea up for you about 1,000%.
I am Matt Fraction, and this is Around Comics, and it's a podcast that you listen to on your pod, and it's casted to your pod, and you can listen to it, and it's sweet. And I love it, and I love you.
Do you remember when the Spirit had a new sidekick? Ebony left for 6 months or
Wasn't
something.
It a white version of Ebony?
It was an Eskimo
Ivory?
Ebony.
Oh, it was an Eskimo Ebony.
Yeah,
okay.
It was the identical character, only
you know, were Eskimos
Eskimo.
Like a big part of popular culture at some point?
I
that,
guess
like,
so.
Well, they were a territory at the time. Maybe they were, you know, were considered as
exotic. Kind of like, like Australians in the 80s.
Well, Australia, exactly.
Was there an Eskimo Bennett work
well,
band?
Well, Eisner had plans to have the Spirit have an Australian sidekick, an Australian version of
an
Ebony.
An Aboriginal Ebony?
Yeah. Interesting. But then when Crocodile Dundee came out.
Are we just, like, Xing off continents and, like, landmasses now? We pissed off Alaska, now we're going to piss off Australia?
By the way, Micronesia,
sorry, Nicola.
Go next!
By the way, now playing the part of Mark Beatty is John Suntris. John, how you doing?
We share a waist size, that's about all. I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I actually stayed with your body double in New York.
Oh, the great Pat Loika.
The great Pat Loika, yes,
I saw
sir.
Him. I saw him. He was having a very good time, and it was a pleasure seeing him.
Pat always has a good time
he,
with those
like, fucked up or something?
No, he was...
You mean he was having a good time?
No, he was just smiling and content. He's,
yeah.
You know, Pat.
He was fucked up.
Just Mr. Happy.
Yeah.
I was told that people had to assist you, though, and care for you on a all certain right. night.
Whoa!
So, all right.
Chris got too drunk at a convention?
Yeah, what are the odds?
Oh my God! How did that happen? Right. That rarely happens.
Actually, it is a really.
I can't. Story. You know what? I can't believe that.
That killed me.
You know what, John? Shut your mouth, because that's a goddamn lie.
I know. I don't mean to besmirch your friend's
reputation. I've never seen Chris
reputation.
Drink too much at a convention. That's crazy.
His little con bag he's always talking about, filled with vodka.
Exactly.
No, bourbon.
It's filled with
bourbon.
Did he spill a beer on his head while checking
I wasn't there. I only heard from our two good friends, McKeever and Norton.
Here's the story.
McKeever and Norton?
Yeah, had a caretake.
Oh, God, so they told you about Saturday night, too.
That's all I heard about was Saturday. It was from McKeever and Norton.
So Thursday, I run out of the house and hop on the train to get to work, and so I don't have breakfast. I get out of work early, and I go to the airport, and I start getting on standbys because I'm like 4 hours early to the airport. And so I'm following, you know, one gate to the other trying to get on standby, so I don't eat lunch. I fly to New York, hop in a cab at LaGuardia, take it to the New Yorker, and get to the hotel. Pat's there. I'm like, all right, man, let's go out. Let's go, you know, hop around Manhattan. So immediately to the bars, start pounding beers and shots. Like 2 hours later, we go down and meet up with like Andy Parks and Greg Thompson and
Bunch
Tony Moore. Yeah, at a country bar in Manhattan, which was kind of funny. And it's like 2 hours after we got started, I'm just like, wow, I'm really blasted. What the heck is going on? And so thank God my phone rings, and I leave the bar, and I'm out on the sidewalk, and it's John. He's like, hey, how you doing, man? You
know, hey, man, how's it going? I'm doing fine.
And your phone still worked in New York.
And so I'm talking to John, and all of a sudden I'm just like, oh, no. And I'm like, John, I'm going to have to talk to you later. And I hang up the phone, and I'm standing right in front of a trash.
Threw up
trash
in Manhattan.
I threw up in front of a hooker. It was very embarrassing.
I threw up on the street in New York, and I'm just like, okay, that's terrible. I'm looking around for my frat brothers.
I can't wait for Seattle. It's
so Josh and not Josh, Ron and Connor from iFanboy drive like or take a cab all the way across Manhattan to meet up with us at this bar. I'm there for like a half hour talking with them. I get sick, and then Pat is like, "Do you need to go?" I'm like, "Yeah, probably." I don't even remember saying goodbye.
And I just
disappear. So yeah, so I kind of took it easy on Friday. Wow. So yeah, Thursday was a little ugly.
So what night do you think is going to be the night where you get destroyed in Seattle?
Saturday.
You really think Saturday's going to be the...
You going to Seattle, too, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah. Cool. Friday, we're doing the baseball game. I'll be on good behavior.
What do you think the reason's going to be behind why you get so drunk? Is it you're going to forget to eat? Or are you going to get really excited?
Oh, I'm just...
Just don't throw up on Rucka. That would be my only word of advice.
Well, let's see. That might happen whether I'm drinking or not.
He threw up all over me,
man. You get nervous.
Greg, how you...
Exactly.
Like
I have
Stan.
An idea.
I'll be like Stan in South Park.
Arc.
John, Chris cannot hold it.
About your biggest fan.
Okay.
Excellent.
What if one of Tara's fans met her, and they went out and got drinks together, and she got so nervous that she vomited on her hero?
Nice.
What would happen?
Crocker would have to hold her hair.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll hold your hair, which that was another
I'm saying, I'm going to go for the surprise choice. I think you're going to get destroyed on Friday night.
You think so?
At the game.
Hey, we're going to be at the game, so you never know what will happen. But no, I'm
forward to the Chris and Eastman con roulette.
Hey, man, it's cons. You go out, you have fun.
That's what
fun.
You do, man.
It is.
You have
I don't know,
time.
Guys. I'm always in work mode because I really do want to get interviews on everybody, so I really don't drink at cons.
Well,
I really don't because I don't want to be on. And actually, I don't, and then still on Sunday, I'm like, hey, anyway, it's great to see you, Gail.
That's not how Chris works. Chris is the master.
I knew it had gotten to a bad point whenever on a Friday or Saturday, I walked up to the Top Shelf booth to talk to Chris Staros, who's one of my favorite people. Chris is he is an awesome guy. And Chris looks up, and I'm expecting him, to say, hey, this is what we got coming out, or blah, blah, blah. And the first words out of his mouth are, hey, Chris, I've been wanting to talk to you. I found this great bourbon. And so we start talking about whiskey. So.
There you go.
Hey, I got two passions in life, comic
Very
books
cool.
and...
Drinking.
I mean, my wife and
three passions.
three.
No, I mean that's cons are fun. Everyone talks about what's the best part
I'm
of a con.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
You've seen the dark side of my con.
Chris
experience.
Con.
I've seen the dark
He saw
side
me
Chris.
Check my watch and pour beer on my head.
Yes, I did. That was ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
So.
You were mentioning before. I wanted to mention the Barack showcase. I love the art.
Did you get drunk while reading the Sergeant Rock Showcase?
I did. No, and I agree with you about the Unknown Soldier. That's excellent.
It's very good.
This is very good.
It's very good.
Did you get the Haunted Tank?
No, not yet.
I got it for the Russ Heath art, but I am a little disappointed in the Haunted Tank. I mean, you think Rock is kind of stilted storytelling. I think the Haunted Tank.
I don't think it's still. It's got this. There's a formula that's used over. Well, because that's what they did.
Because I honestly think by the 60s and early 70s. They were telling really interesting stories.
And the thing is, a haunted tank seems like the type of thing you could tell an infinite number of stories about that are all entertaining. And never repeat.
No, of course not. What got us out of this? Could it have been the spirit of Jeb Stuart?
I don't know. Yeah, it's that same fucking tank that always shows up and saves us with the ghosts, with the haunted tank.
Well, have they done the Unknown Soldier?
That's
a really good one.
That's excellent. It's not only Joe Kubert's stories, but David Michelinie. That was one of his early DC assignments. They're great. And also it got creepy.
Because
there was the bandage face of the Unknown Soldier.
Then when Michelinie had
face. He took the bandages off, and it's like, here's my mutilated face. And it was, like, really horrific. I mean, it really was. He just looked crazy. He looked crazy. I mean, he would not be afraid of, like, showing his scarred face, and it was really
I have learned from Sergeant Rock how to lead. So whenever someone at work asks me a question, I tell them a story about someone how that reminds me of another situation that happened years ago.
I knew a recruit like you.
When I was in Northern Africa chasing Rommel.
Shave-tail recruit.
Doing Rommel's accounting. And you magnificent bastard.
I read your accounting books.
I read your accounting books.
I read your ledgers.
Rommel.
God. I had a blast at the con. I'm sorry I won't be joining you boys in Seattle, but...
Don't be sad, man.
It's the con of the year, man.
I understand.
Seattle.
Where the party is.
Emerald City. Be there.
Yeah, no,
the
it's a great lineup, and I think that's great. So people and fun people were in New York.
Yeah.
There were a ton that weren't because of the Passover holiday.
Yeah.
And that, Seattle and Pittsburgh were, immediately after it.
Well, I think, Chris, you should read that whole list of people that are going to be at Seattle right now. Because you can't find it anywhere on the internet. Read it now, the exclusive
plus
John didn't hear it.
Plus that Stumptown.
Stumptown's last weekend.
Right. So, there's just a ton of cons.
They
right
should
now.
Just have one convention in the center of the United States.
In Chicago?
Yeah, I'm thinking like
Springfield,
Iowa.
It's a shame because when there were fewer cons. I mean, the Chicago Con was consistently, in a, you know, always well attended by guests.
Destination show.
And yeah, it was a destination show. And it, unfortunately, now this, you know, increase in cons, in some ways it's good. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know how you guys do it creator wise, Chris, because, you know, I just.
Killer. That's why I don't do more than.
Well, this is the, this
do you work
is
on the road?
A little bit.
Scotty, do you work on the road when you're at cons?
Scotty isn't
He's
here.
Like, I don't work at home.
This is this is Scotty's only con this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Seattle's the only one now?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so that's it.
He's going to be rude to you in person.
Well, I tell you
not
what.
Not really.
No.
I will.
No.
Yes. Tom will shove you. Well, I tell you what. Let's go ahead and wrap up there for this one.
I will.
That'll take care of this week's talk, but the same cast of characters is going to be back next week, and we'll pick up with an all-new conversation. So, once again,
it'll
thank
probably be pretty similar to this.
It'll be very similar to this, only a little bit.
Not too. I mean,
only a little bit more
drunk.
Really.
I'm going to try to pepper it with as many references to this week's episode as possible.
What book? What's your book again?
Nixon's Pals.
Ding.
Ding. All right. Well, guys, thanks again for the patience while we were on hiatus. It was great to have some time off. It's great to be
back.
Yes, you're.
I'm glad you and the network were able to see terms and agree to that new contract.
Now, the writer's strike's over. The bigger table was really the key.
Yeah, you know,
and the couple
there. You're a shrewd negotiator there, tough guy.
And a gold suit.
Nice. It'll go with my David Byrne Talking Heads blazer that I wore in my video interviews.
Not made out of gold, but gold-colored.
I'll have to talk about that on the next episode.
Compromised.
All right. Well, come back again next week for a whole new hour of comics conversation. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, retransmission, or rebroadcast without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2007.